Welcome back to the program. Good to have you here for the conversation. My next guest has been in the front row of politics for many years now, served in the military, has a very good understanding of the challenges we face as Americans. Four-term member of Congress, ran for president in 2020 as a Democrat, and then left the Democrat Party to head out on her own. Tulsi Gabbard joined me today. Tulsi, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Never a dull moment in this country. We have challenges everywhere we look, whether it's the economy and inflation, an open border that is damaging to America on a daily basis. We've got wars in Ukraine and Gaza. And then lately, we've got students uprising on college campuses that are openly anti-Semitic, openly racist. We have a problem just about every place I look at this country. You must feel the same way.
I do. And I think most Americans, even those who don't pay that much attention to politics, can't deny that we are facing multiple threats in this country, both to our freedom, as well as our ability to live in a peaceful society, and recognize that these threats are coming from decisions that have been made and are being made by the Biden-Harris administration and the Democrat elite in Washington. These symptoms of their abuse of power are what ultimately drove me to leave the Democrat Party, recognizing that they pose a direct threat to our fundamental rights and freedoms that are enshrined in the Constitution, freedoms that they took an oath, they swore an oath to support and defend. You mentioned a number of these very important issues. I'll hone in on one of the first ones you mentioned, which is our border. I was recently down in San Diego going and visiting parts of our southern border that aren't often spoken about or they're not getting much attention. What I saw should disturb and concern every American, regardless of where you live in this country. The cartels are running this multi-billion dollar operation with the support of the Biden-Harris administration through their open border policy. And it's a well-oiled machine, Stephen. You know, we've got people who I saw firsthand walking across the border, happy, cell phones, snacks, nice clothes, they knew exactly where to go for Border Patrol to pick them up. They gathered there and they hung out until the Border Patrol van showed up. They lined up in a very orderly way.
I mean, theories of Democrats believe that these will be voters for them going forward. Maybe they do. You've got big industries in this country that want cheap labor, but the people paying the price are the ordinary folks. And as you point out, not just in San Diego, but all the
right? Exactly. That's absolutely true. There is no part of our country that is untouched by this and its impact on our communities. Obviously, people who are going to these cities and small towns demanding housing and food and money, people who are coming in breaking the law, showing that they have no respect for the rule of law in this country, and many having no plans to go and show up to an asylum court date that may be 2 or 4 or 8 years away, very directly undermining our rule of law and our system. What to speak of those who are coming into our country with an intention to cause us harm, who are a direct threat to our security. I stumbled upon a group of a few hundred illegal immigrants who are, again, sitting there with two Border Patrol agents, vastly outnumbered, but sitting there waiting, knowing that if they got picked up and processed, they'd be free to go anywhere in the country. But in that group were people who are very clearly criminals. I spoke to them. They came from Venezuela. They are not coming here with good intent, escaping a life of suffering and threat. They were posing that threat to their fellow citizens, and now they're bringing that here into our country. And we're seeing the results of that every day.
Georgia.
Exactly.
On a Thursday morning, going for a run like so many college kids do. Ruby Garcia, Grand Rapids, Michigan, brutally murdered by an illegal. And these are just the examples that come to the top. Many of them, most of them, never get mentioned at all. But this impact, whether it's crime at that level, or you look at what's happening in Chicago, where the mayor there is now massing together illegals and pushing them into poor neighborhoods. Neighborhoods that can't afford to survive the way they are now, and then push all of those illegals in there, of course, to clean up the streets for the Democratic National Convention coming up later this year. And I want to dial in a little bit on For Love of Country, your brand new book about leaving the Democrat Party. Several reasons pushed you to do it. You look at the open border. That has got to be unconstitutional. I don't understand how we don't have a Congress that has the backbone and some Democrats in that same Congress to say, look, this is wrong. Why is it so silent on that side of the aisle?
Well, you know, I supported the impeachment efforts against Secretary Mayorkas. I think that was an important step because it's worse than, you know, you could say, well, gosh, maybe they're trying to secure the border, but it's not working, or they're just not good at their job. You can't even say that about this administration because they're blatantly lying. Everyone from Secretary Mayorkas to Vice President Harris and President Biden, they will look into a camera and speak to the American people or speak to Congress and say, without hesitation, our border is secure. A blatant lie that reveals how stupid they think we as Americans are, that we're not paying attention to what's happening, that we'll just buy whatever line and lie they happen to be selling to us. Unfortunately, there were too few leaders in Congress to support that impeachment, and it unfortunately failed when it came to the Senate. But that is the kind of action that we need. We need to ensure that action is taken immediately to secure our border. But I think this will be a very glaring issue as we head into this November election. And one, I encourage voters, I don't care what your political party is, recognize that there is a clear contrast and choice in this election with two people, President Biden and President Trump, who have a record. You don't have to guess about what they will do. Our border was far more secure under President Trump than what we are seeing today.
Yeah, let me ask you something about your experience running for president back in 2020 and watching the process as a candidate, because more recently, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. left the process saying it's completely rigged in favor of Joe Biden. The Democrat operatives run the entire process. I never really had a chance, he said. Do you agree with what he says there as far as the way the Democrats run this? Because look, Joe Biden is the least popular president in 70 years since Dwight Eisenhower. He doesn't have a category where people can point to and say, well, he's doing a really nice job here. It doesn't exist. Not the border like we've talked about, or Bidenomics, which they won't talk about anymore, or the failures on the global stage. What about the system being rigged in favor of Democrats? Is that one of the reasons you left?
It is, and it's something that I experienced firsthand in 2016 when I was a vice chair of the Democratic Party, the Democratic National Committee, and I saw how then Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as you know, was very heavily tilting the scales and rigging the system in favor of Hillary Clinton. Over then, her main challenger in that primary was Bernie Sanders, but there were others who were running as well, limiting the number of debates that would occur in this Democratic primary. Limiting them and scheduling them at a time when very few voters would be watching, whether it was a big football game going on or a holiday or something like that, and doing so unilaterally. It was an eye-opening experience to see how brazenly she was trying to tilt the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton because she didn't want, just like with President Biden and Bobby Kennedy, she didn't want Hillary Clinton to be exposed by having to stand on a debate stage and have her record as Secretary of State, as U.S. Senator challenged, because her record is abysmal. You know, she's running to be Commander in Chief, and yet she caused so much harm, so much loss of life. And as we saw with Gaddafi, she sat there and she said, what did she say? She laughed and said, we killed him. Something along those lines. Blood curdling.
Ask you this: will Joe Biden, in your estimation, will Joe Biden debate? Is he capable? Is he capable of running the country today? One of Hillary Clinton's ads: if the phone rings at 3 a.m, who do you want to answer it? I want somebody to answer it, Tulsi. Right now, I'm not sure anybody's going to answer the phone.
You know, Joe Biden apparently said on was it on Howard Stern's podcast where he said that he would debate Donald Trump. It was funny to see how quickly his team kind of tried to rein that back in and say, well, you know, we don't know. It depends on this or that. So if his own team doesn't have confidence in his ability to debate, or even as we saw with the Super Bowl, do a softball interview with 60 Minutes in front of the biggest audience possible in any election year, then I think that speaks volumes for what his capabilities are. The thing here is that we can't abdicate the consequences and the responsibility outside of Joe Biden, whether his you know, cognitive ability is questionable on any given day. The reality is he is the president of the United States, and he is telling the American people that he wants to continue to be president of the United States. We hold him accountable for these decisions, and for the devastating consequences that they are having on our freedom and our security and our ability to live in a peaceful and prosperous society.
Talked about Donald Trump's record on the border compared to Joe Biden's. We could do the same thing with Bidenomics, which was their big play a while back. Of course, they won't talk about that now. But I want to ask you about something, because your name has been floated around as a possible running mate with Donald Trump. And what happens is a lot of people that, we'll call them the MAGA folks, really push back. Say, well, I don't trust Tulsi. I'm not sure that she's the right person. A lot of different criticisms. You've heard those yourself.
Yes.
Those people, and I have no idea who's going to get the nod from Donald Trump. I don't think anybody does. But if you were given the opportunity, would you do it, number one? And number two, what would you say to those critics, those hardcore Trump supporters at about 40% of the country that say, I'm not sure about that? What would you say?
First of all, if asked, I would be honored to serve our country in that way and play a direct role in being able to save our country and defend freedom and get our country back on track. To those who are cynical or who have doubts, I encourage you to read my book, because I go into detail about what I have seen, what I have experienced, and those things that drove me to not just leave the Democratic Party and you know, go quietly in the night, but to dedicate my time and energy to upholding the Constitution, to delivering this critical message to voters across the country, even those, and maybe especially those, who feel politically homeless, who aren't sure who they're going to vote for in this election, but who can connect with many of the experiences that I have had, those independents, those disenfranchised Democrats, libertarians, who will resonate with my experience and my message, and understand we've got to stand together as Americans to uphold the Constitution and to defend freedom.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Again, the book is right there for everybody. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. We're seeing more of that, by the way, Black voters, Hispanic voters, suburban moms. Whether or not you're a vice presidential candidate or not, what are the priorities you see? Because obviously you're actively pursuing political goals and trying to save this country, as you just mentioned. What are the priorities? If you were going to say, here are the three things that need to be done in the first 100 days of the next administration, no matter who it is, what would those things be?
I'll tell you the top three or four that come to mind, number one of which is we have to secure our border. That has to be, that mobilization to secure our border has to occur on day one, both with the physical authorities and getting the Border Patrol, the authorities they need to secure our border, federalizing the National Guard to secure our border, and also simultaneously working on fixing our archaic immigration laws that are allowing these loopholes to exist that they are exploiting right now. Secondly, we have to look at our economy, and President Trump has a great record on improving our economy. We've got to be able to get our economy back on track and help support our small businesses so that they can thrive and not allow President Biden's proposed egregious and oppressive tax increases to take place. Third, we have to do all that we can and provide the courageous and strong leadership on the global front to walk us back from the brink of World War III and nuclear war that President Biden has led us to and continues to escalate on multiple fronts around the world. And then another thing that I have to mention, because it just happened in the news, is this insanity around Title IX. As a woman, I can say with firsthand experience that President Biden's undermining and destruction of Title IX is a direct attack on all women and girls in this country, and the ultimate act of hostility. President Trump, I know, will undo the damage that President Biden has done and provide that opportunity and level playing field for women and girls, but more importantly, take the stand on objective truth that women are women and men are men, and we are biologically different. That is a fact.
That is a fact. I learned that, I think, in kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly.
Basic stuff. Tulsi Gabbard, one more question or two here real quickly, because you bring this up. The Supreme Court has said to Joe Biden administration on a number of issues, you can't do this. Forgiving student loans comes to mind. They do it.
Yes.
How do we allow this to go on in this country? To me, it would be a constitutional crisis if the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. And they go ahead and do it anyway. And there are other issues, but that is the one that's in the headlines. How egregious is that to you? Because if you and the Supreme Court and say, we're going to pack the court, we're going to put 15 people on, or whatever they think they can do.
It is incredibly dangerous because, again, it speaks to this dictator-like mindset that President Biden and those around him have. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about our three co-equal branches of government. And if the Supreme Court doesn't make it, it makes a decision that they don't like, they have no problem in, as we've seen, the abuse of power. They're going to figure out a way to do what they want anyway. This is a direct assault on the foundational pillars of our country. And one way that Congress could take action is with the power of the purse strings. President Biden is spending hundreds of billions of dollars that we as a country don't have. And if spent, could certainly be used to support communities like those of Lahaina in Maui, the families who are still homeless and unable to begin to rebuild their lives again after the tragic fire that occurred last year. They are still waiting for the federal government to come in and help provide real support. President Biden's weaponization of the justice system, of law enforcement at different levels to go after Donald, not only Donald Trump, but other political opponents and opposition in this country, has a very chilling effect on all of us, sending the warning signal that don't you dare cross us or we will use all the tools and that we have available to go after you. Now is the time for courageous leaders to stand for the rule of law, for freedom, and stand up to fulfill our oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And President Biden poses that domestic threat to our Constitution today.
Which brings me to, and it just begs one more question. So about the FISA,
Yes.
Allowing the government to bring all of its power against the citizen to investigate you or me, or anyone without a warrant. Last question.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is one where, unfortunately, there was a failure by both Democrats and Republicans in Congress, not only to extend the unconstitutional FISA law that allows, as you mentioned, warrantless surveillance on American citizens, but it actually increased the government's authorities and ability to conduct this surveillance in ways that they had not been authorized to do so previously. It is a direct violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. The fact that it happened with both Democrat and Republican support is unacceptable, and why we as voters must make informed decisions when we go and cast our votes at the ballot box in November.
No question. The brand new book, For Love of Country, Leave Democrat Party Behind, by Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi, I'll give you the last word.
I appreciate you having me on your show to share with your viewers the reality and the truth of what's happening in this country. Again, I go into my own personal experiences in a lot of detail in this book, tackling the tough issues of the day, like identity politics and how the Democrat elite are fomenting racism and divisiveness in this country. I have a chapter that talks about God, my own personal relationship with God and my motivation in my life, and how the Democrat elite are doing all that they can to erase God from every facet of our public life and target people of faith and spirituality, especially focusing more and more on Christians. I go into these and many other issues, important issues, in my book, For Love of Country. It's available now on Amazon, a signed copy at TulsiGabbard.com, and on Audible if you like audiobooks. I appreciate your support in helping get this message out far and wide.
Tulsi Gabbard, thank you very much for being here. Truly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There you have it. Tulsi Gabbard really needs no introduction. For Love of Country is the book, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. I'll be right back.